name is Claire Lutgendorf. I'm a master's student at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and I've had the opportunity to work on these data, this project, for my master's project at UNC. And I'm going to begin today by telling you a little bit about the setting for this research. The area in which this study takes place is northeastern North Carolina. It's an economically depressed area with very few jobs. It's extremely rural and has a high percentage of African American population. Poultry processing is one of the largest and only industries in the area, the plant in the study employs approximately 2,500 people. And just to give you an idea, it's one of the best paying job opportunities in the area. Average wage in the plant is about $8.15 an hour compared with minimum wage jobs, North Carolina is currently transitioning between $5.15 and $6.15 an hour, so it is substantially lower. This map shows North Carolina African American population. The counties in red have a greater than 50% African American population, and the counties outlined in blue are the counties that were included in this study, so you can see that all but one are in that highest bracket of African American population. The study is called The Safety and Health of Working Women, and it began in 1999 when community members, African American women from the community, approached researchers at Duke University asking them to help design a project to look at the health effects of poultry processing work. And over the next few year or so, a community-based participatory research study, or a study that drew strongly on CBPR principles, developed. And I just wanted to give a definition from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation of a collaborative approach to research that equitably involves all partners in the research process and recognizes the unique strengths that each brings. The women in the community and also workers in the study identified musculoskeletal disorders as being some of the most significant problems related to working in the plant. And they also mentioned negative impact on physical and mental quality of life. The study involved five African American community members. They were five women, ages 18 to 62, and they had a high school education, was their education level. Two of them were former poultry workers, and they carried out 590 interviews over nearly 2 years. Most of the recruitment took place by word of mouth and networking between women, and they held interviews at the community office, but also participant homes and other convenient locations. They really went out of their way to make the participants feel comfortable. And the study was specifically designed to circumvent industry involvement, and this was because there was such a high level of distrust in the community, and most of the women working in the plant had felt that their health concerns had been disregarded by the poultry industry in the past if they ever tried to mention anything. And there's also a poor occupational health history of the industry, both at the state and national level, with citations for repetitive motion violations, failure to document injuries, and a high turnover. So the analysis that I'm going to present to you today is looking at the predictive capacity of moderate to severe upper extremity musculoskeletal disorders on low physical health-related quality of life among low-wage workers, both poultry processing workers and women, comparison women in the community. And I know that's kind of a mouthful, so I'll try to explain each part of that. The baseline population included 291 women employed in poultry processing, and most of them were relatively new, about under 9 months of employment, because the study was recruiting for a longer longitudinal study, and so they wanted to recruit workers who were likely to be employed during their whole study. And then also 299 comparison workers. These were also low-wage workers from a similar community to try to get an idea of whether what we are seeing in the poultry workers was because of the poultry work or because of just what they, you know, what their lives were like in general. So just to give you an idea of the types of employment of the comparison workers, they included retail, nurses' aides, fast food, and clerical, and also very low-wage jobs. The mean age was just around 31 years, and they were frequency matched between the two groups. And then the race-ethnicity makeup was over 98% African-American, so we didn't do any stratification by race-ethnicity. The outcome measure, physical health-related quality of life, it encompasses a person's ability to function effectively, physically, emotionally, and socially, and to maintain a sense of well-being. We use the SF-12 short form, which is a validated form that derives a standardized measurement on a 0 to 100 scale. And this form asks about what respondents are able to do, how they feel, and how they evaluate their health status. We found a median score among poultry workers just over 51, compared with the comparison group nearly 55. And to give you an idea, the national average is designed to be a 50 for individuals aged 45 to 54, which means that among the poultry workers, we were seeing a quality of life measurement that was approximately equivalent to people 15 to 25 years older than them, which is a significant decrease in quality of life. And the outcome measurement was the lowest quartile, which was less than 48, or less than or equal to 48.2. The main exposure was measured as three or more episodes of symptoms lasting 1 week or longer, which were measured as moderate to severe, 3 to 5 on a scale of 1 to 5. And those symptoms included hand, wrist, elbows, shoulder, and neck symptoms. And some of the other covariates that we used were the presence of other chronic disease. These included thyroid problems, Graves' disease, lupus, kidney failure, hypertension, migraine headaches, heart attack, diabetes, sickle cell anemia. And they were pretty much comparable in both groups. Ever smoked, we found, was nearly twice as high in poultry workers. Two or more children in the home was about the same, slightly higher in poultry workers, but that was meant to determine a number of children in the home, not necessarily children belonging to the participant in the study. A lot of the households in this study weren't necessarily traditional households. They may have had two or more women living together and many children. For that same reason, another adult at home to help was more meaningful to us than marital status, and those were about equal. We also measured survival time without a paycheck, which was designed to measure financial stress and the importance of a woman's income. The question was, how long could she and her family go without a paycheck before it would be a major problem? So, as you can see, among about 60% in the entire population could not go more than a week without their paycheck. And then frequency of physical exhaustion at the end of the workday was designed to serve as a proxy for physical exertion at work, length of commute, second job, and work hours. Fatigue from work is related to musculoskeletal disorders because it is more tiring to work when the task is painful. And I would like to point out that it's about twice as high, or nearly twice as high, in the poultry workers compared to the other group. In the crude results of the study, we found that the prevalence of these moderate to severe musculoskeletal symptoms were 34.4% in the poultry workers compared with just under 11% in the community group. So that meant poultry workers were more than three times more likely to have had our exposure, the moderate to severe upper extremity musculoskeletal symptoms in the past year. And then in the outcome, we found that there was just under 36% of poultry workers with the lowest quartile of physical health-related quality of life compared with about 15% in the community group, which meant they were almost 2.5 times more likely to have the lowest quartile of physical health-related quality of life. As far as the predictive capacity, we found that both groups were significantly predictive of low health-related quality of life, but we found a stronger effect among the community comparison group. When that model was adjusted for age and presence of other chronic diseases, it changed slightly, but both, again, were significantly predictive, and the effect was stronger in the community comparison group. Some conclusions coming out of this study are that musculoskeletal disorders and low health-related quality of life are a tremendous problem in this population of vulnerable workers, and I mean that to say not only the poultry workers, but also the other low-wage workers in the study. We found a much higher prevalence of musculoskeletal disorders and low health-related quality of life among the poultry workers compared with the comparison group, and that suggests that the poultry workers may have health-related quality of life compromised by their work environment. We found that the musculoskeletal symptoms strongly predicted health-related quality of life among all workers, and there was a stronger effect in the comparison group. And that was a finding that really surprised me. I'm not exactly sure why that is. I'd be interested in input if anyone has thoughts on it, but it could have to do with the fact that the poultry workers were relatively new to the industry, and so they hadn't had the time to develop some of longer-term health issues that might come with that. And finally, the community-based design was vital to the success of the study, because without cooperation from the community, we wouldn't have gotten the honest responses that we did from the women participating in the study. And I'd like to finish with a quote from one of the women in a focus group in the study. She said, "When I come home and I be hurting," they, her children, were sad, "Mama, you don't need to go to work at the plant, you hurting like that. It upset them that I be hurting, because I would go home and lay down and they would be saying, you need to find another job, because you always be come home hurting. And I would say that I had to hang in there, because I had to pay the bills so they can go to school and everything." So this is it's an issue that's affecting these women in a very severe way and affecting their families as well. And I'd like to thank support from NIEHS and Esther Lipscomb and my advisor, Jane Schroeder. Thank you.